Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Okay, this will be brief. James 1, 16 through 18, I'll be quoting it. We'll spend the balance of our time in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 13. I'm beginning a Christmas series called The Gift, the real meaning of Christmas. If you hadn't known me a long time, I love gifts. If you're new to this church, there's a gift sitting under my seat now. That's where you put the gifts of the pastor. If you want to give him a gift, you just put them under the seat or on the chair. I accept small gifts, large gifts, sincerely from the heart gifts, whatever gifts you want to give. And if you're not sure whether or not you're a good cook, no, I know some people are not sure because your family have to tell you you are because they want to eat. I'll try it. That's what I say. It's worth it because I will try it. So I want you to know that. I will try it. When it comes to gifts, I have a weakness in my earlier years of failing to appreciate gifts that I didn't think met my expectation. Seems like if it's a gift, you should just appreciate it. One time someone on a birthday around 17 years ago gave me a gift, and my evaluation of it did it fell short, and I made the mistake of saying it out loud to the person who was giving the birthday, who shall remain nameless. I haven't celebrated a birthday since. Pray my strength in the Lord. Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and proceeds continually from the Father of lights, where there is no variance or shadow of turning. He chooses to give birth through the word of truth that we might have a kind of first fruits of all he created. God gives amazing gifts, but an amazing gift is most amazing when it's not just the one you want, but the one you absolutely need. Because I don't know if you've ever needed a car note and somebody gave you something you wanted, maybe a dinner gift card, but what you needed was that car note. And the person who showed up with that car note payment as a gift, that one just felt greater to you. Jesus gives us the payment we need for the debt we owe as a gift. You owe a debt, and I know I owe a debt because sin creates separation that's immeasurable. It's unscalable by any human effort. Unless God steps in with a gift, you are stuck in the most miserable of eternal positions, which is complete separation from him, where there is no light and there is no life. How do you know there's no light? Because the Bible says, in him is light and life. You cannot have life without him. You can't have light without him. The Bible is something about a gift giver when they do the work of preparation for the gift. You see these gifts and they're wrapped pretty nice. You can tell that there was some meticulous care given to how this was put together. I love how Jesus says it, who is, in the Bible says, in the beginning God. In John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14 it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then Jesus said another verse, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. He was thoughtful before you even got here, and we got here and messed the whole world up. He knew he wanted to extend us a choice, and he knew that that choice could cost him his life, but yet he sent a word as a gift. Scripture we first read says he gives us a word of truth that we might be the firstborn of the things he created. There is no more important gift than the word, no matter how many other gifts come after the word. The first thing God did was said. And it created everything that humanity need to have life. If you have a word, you have life. If you have not the word, you're a little messed up, jacked up, tangled up, strangled, confused, a little trying to figure it all out, a little oppressed. It's something you just here. A word becomes a lamp unto your feet and a guide to your path. Isaiah 55 is going to help us see three things. One is that the gift of the word has been wrapped in a package and presented to you, but a gift extended as a presentation is just that, a presentation, unless you come and get it. Jesus is extending or presenting to you your answer for life, your answer for eternity, your answer for confusion, your answer for your pain. But if you and I only look at it and say, ooh, look at that gift right there, and that's all you leave it at, you're stuck. Now, look at the first verse in Isaiah 55 that helps us amplify this first point about the presentation of the gift. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Everyone on this planet needs water to sustain your life. It is a need. Everyone on this planet is born with a need for salvation and need for a savior. You can try a lot of sources to get it, but you can only get it in one place from one person. And if you're unwilling to come to him to get the very refreshing you need for your dead life, then you'll be stuck in a dead place. The second thing we notice in the scripture is that coming to God to get life, you get something beyond that. You get benefits, milk and honey. And he's telling you, you can get it with no cost. A gift must simply be received. I know that this is why, those of you, just because I don't get in your house, you know, Saint Nick got a song. Better watch out. Better not pout. Better not cry. Telling you why. And so you don't want to be on a naughty list. Naughty list, you get cold. You get something bad. You see, when Jesus tells you to come and pick up what he's presenting to you, it's not based on whether or not you were good. It's not based on whether or not you had it all together. In fact, the naughty are qualified to receive the gift. You didn't have to get it all together. And this is what makes it special. Now keep reading in that second verse. It says, why spend money on what is not bread? The bread is always synonymous in the scripture with his word. And why labor on what does not satisfy? What are you trying to work hard for and then you get it and then you don't have Jesus at the level you should have him and you're still unsatisfied? You want a relationship, but the relationship was not born from Jesus telling you to be in one, so you're unsatisfied, you're busted, disgusted, and frustrated, or you buy something because you wanted it, but you weren't inspired by him. And so you get the thing, but you don't have the king, and then you're just frustrated. See, he said, why labor? It's for what doesn't satisfy. He said, listen, this listening is the thought that you're listening with the intent to do something differently to me. He said, eat what's good and you will delight in the riches of far. In other words, I love this about God. Don't work so hard for something I'm trying to give you so freely. I know the devil has sent you a lie that says, you know how God is. You know he makes it tough on you, Eve. I know he gave you a garden, told you you can eat everything, gave you a man and a house and a relationship with him, but he holding out. He don't want you to have all that other stuff he got. Now, he's always telling us that our life is more miserable than it is. And I hate to just be bold and brazen when I say this. You are an American. You don't understand the gift God gave you just through your citizenship in a blessed and prosperous nation with the freedom to proclaim his name. You are an American. Are we really complaining? Yes, I complain. I didn't get what I want for Christmas. You didn't celebrate my birthday. I'm just mad about stuff. Somebody else is living on far less and far happier. Because they've got something with the king that doesn't matter whether they're oppressed or they're successful. They know the source. Come to him, the source. The presentation is clear. My next point is found in the third verse, that the presentation comes with a promise. It's hard sometimes for us to appreciate a promise. And it's not because we don't cognitively understand that it's something promised, but it's something in our character that makes us falter when it's our opportunity to believe that there's a promise-making, promise-keeping God. It's immutable for God to lie, and it's impossible for him to break his promises. So when his word goes out, you see, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of his word fails. He cannot fail. When he tells you he's going to do something, he's really going to do it, because it's his character. It's his essence. It's what he personifies. He personifies coming through at all times and all places on all things he's made a statement about. So look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, give ear and come to me. Listen. And you may live. When you hear this promise, it's not designed to keep you down. It's designed to bring you up. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. An everlasting covenant. From the moment that man found himself in peril, God was there saying, I'm going to take the seed of the woman and I'm going to crush your enemy's head. Then to Abraham, he reestablished his everlasting covenant. He said, through the seed, I'm gonna bring a Messiah. I'm gonna bring a deliverance that's gonna bless you and all peoples and all nations. Then he said the same thing to Isaac. Then he said the same thing to Jacob. Then he brought the same thing down to David. And you understand that every time he makes these everlasting covenants, that's because they cannot change, because he's unchanging. He doesn't change. Like, he's not fair weather. I don't like him today. Look at him. Look at him down there. Just look at what they did. Look how they thinking. I just don't like him. No. When we were in our most miserable condition, when we weren't seeking after him the most, the Bible says that's when Christ died for the ungodly. When you hear your worst vile condition, he died for you to remind you that it's not based on who you are, but based on who he is and how much he loves you. He said it was my covenant with David. You know why he said that? Because David has some leadership and some adultery, some command, and he has some, he murdered somebody. David had incest in his family. He was just jacked up, tangled up, messed up. And God said, my covenant with you, David, is everlasting. I don't change my mind. Even though you messed up, even though you don't look right, even though you've forgotten everything I taught you, I still love you with an everlasting love. It's a gift. It's my word. It's a promise. It's immutable. It does not change. So he said, God is not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he surely brings it to pass. Not like man. What's man like? We lie. My kids know. When I tell them, Dad, can we go to the movies? Yeah. They know that's a 50-50 chance. They know that. That's 50-50. They know it came out of lie. We lie so much, we tell ourselves a lie that we're not lying. I'm going to prove everybody here lie. Not everybody. Everybody.
He said, I tell people, I'm going to be there tomorrow at your event. But the Bible say, don't say you're going to go here or there. Say, if it be the Lord's will, I do it. Last I checked, you don't know if you're going to be alive. You don't know if you're going to make it. So how can you make a promise because you can't keep it? But we serve a promise-making, promise-keeping God that it doesn't matter the conditions of life. He can keep his promises because his word does not change. He's not like, man, last point. This gift he presents you with is powerful. Skip down to one of those verses. No, go to 9. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so high are your ways above my ways and your thoughts above my thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return without watering the earth. The rain does not go back until it does what it was sent to do, which was to saturate the earth so it could, what? So it could make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So you know what God's word is like? So is my word. It goes out of my mouth. It does not return to me empty. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I send it to. Now, you look how finite rain is. Yet rain's got a command to do its job. And it's a cycle. Forms in the cloud. The cloud gets heavy, releases the rain, saturates the earth. Eventually, because the sun and evaporation, gets to go back. And it's a cycle. But it did its job. Do you know, thank you, Holy Ghost, let me get it out. Oh, hold on, I got to speak. Okay, listen. Listen. There's a word that has gone out over you that it doesn't matter if you didn't even believe it when it went out. The word going out was not predicated on whether or not you received it. It was predicated upon the strength and the power of the one who sent it. And even if you try to reject it, it can't come back to him until it hits the ground of your heart and produces what he said it'll produce, because the word of God is powerful. You can't stop him. You can't stop the word. So here's what happens. My whole life, trying to figure out if I'm saved. Then when I can finally figure out I'm saved, I got to figure out if the promises work for me. Is it really going to heal me? Because I'm still going to the doctor. Is it really going to give me debt cancellation? I need some debt cancellation. Cancel my debt. Is it really? I know we don't like to talk about deep spiritual things, but one of the promises that went out over your life is that you'd be free from demonic oppression. Not that it won't come to you, but you got the answer for it. Well, I'm not under no demonic oppression. Are you full of anger, wrath, lust, pain? Are you full of stuff that it's not from God? Anything that's not from God that you're full of? If you're not being fruitful, something demonic is attached to you, but he gives you power. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy so you can tread, you can step, you can move upon him. So what shall by any means hurt you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't care what society has said. I don't care what the enemy has said. I don't care what you speak into yourself. If God be for you, who can be against you? He's for me. You can't be against me. Stand up. Ministry team, come on down. Now, I told you This was a word for you. And maybe you came in here with a whole lot of stuff you can't even express. There's a promise out there for you. God will cause all grace to abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things could abound to every good work. If you've heard the lie from the enemy that he's not gonna make good on that promise, it's just a lie. Tell the Lord what Eve should have said. Not open for the conversation. Not open for the conversation. Well, you know how my husband is? Not open for the conversation. Well, you know what my bills are? Not open for the conversation. If it doesn't come from the gift of the word, if it don't smell like deliverance, if it don't look like freedom, then it's just not my inheritance. Okay. Now, this is your Christmas gift. The scripture started off by saying, come get it. It's something I found in society where confessing our weakness is this, oh, you weak. I think strong people can say where they're failing. That's a lie. See, the enemy say, you weak, because you got to go up there and say something. You weak, you weak. That's the lie. The truth, he said, come get yourself a drink. Come get refreshed. And you might say, well, what does all that mean? See, it's something prophetic and defining that happens when you move physically out of one state to another. It's like that's the faith-filled transfer happens. The account fills. The healing comes. Because you have an act of faith. All those around the room, once I pray, if you need anything from Jesus, healing, breakthrough, comfort, you know what I mean? Just come from all over the room. Father.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.